Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is all the readings, beginning with the Old Testament reading where Solomon reflects on the vanity of worldly things. Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Ecclesiastes, penned by the king of Israel, Solomon, and it begins this way. Solomon says, "Vanity of vanities, everything is vanity." Vanity, what does that word mean? In the Hebrew language, the word that's translated here, vanity, literally means vapor, like a fog or a cloud. Children of all ages have long fascinated about clouds, haven't they? Don't you imagine something amazing hidden beyond sight when you see a cloud? A castle in the clouds, perhaps, or a kingdom that's amazing just beyond our reach. This has given rise to many fairy tales like Jack and the Beanstalk, in which Jack is able to access that magical realm in the clouds, both its treasures and its dangers. And of course, if you've ever flown in an airplane above the clouds, you know that there is this certain otherworldly quality to them. But like many of the fantasies we entertain, the reality is far less magical. Clouds are actually just insubstantial vapors. Try to walk on them and you'll fall right through them. Try to find some amazing treasure in them and you will pass right through it. Try to grab them and it will slip right through your hands. They are nothing more than drops of water hanging in the atmosphere. Now Solomon says that this is what the things of this world are like. Vapors, clouds, vanity. We fantasize about them, we even pursue them, but in the end they all turn out to be insubstantial. Things that we can't even actually hold on to. Things that slip right through our fingers. Age and experience taught this wisdom to Solomon because he had tried it all. He had chased the things of this world and he had found they don't actually satisfy. Indeed, more often than not, the pursuit of worldly things actually caused him pain, suffering, and made it difficult to have a right relationship with God and his fellow man. Indeed, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about Solomon's realization of this, that his pursuits have not led to happiness, but rather to emptiness, to sorrow. The French mathematician and theologian Blaise Pascal famously described this. He wrote in this way, that man tries to fill the void in himself with everything around him. But this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object. In other words, only by God himself. Later, theologians have kind of reduced that to there is a God-shaped hole in every human heart. Pascal then says that we run after the things of this world, but they never satisfy us. Surprise, surprise. Because they cannot satisfy our deepest need or longing. They cannot fill the God-shaped hole. Only God can do that. The Apostle Paul says it in a different way in the reading from Colossians for today. He says, "This is the truth, that your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's it. Your life is not found in the things of this world, but your life is hidden with Christ in God. My mother-in-law would say it yet another way. She would say, "This world is not our home." And if this world is not our home, if our lives are not found in this world or the things of this world, then this world and its pleasures can never satisfy us. Only God in Christ can satisfy us. Jesus, of course, adds to this in the gospel. He says, "Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions." Do you get it? Then he adds this little comment about the mortality of man, saying to the rich man who chased after and loved and stored up worldly treasures, he got more and more and more in his bins, and finally God says to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? Not yours. They will have slipped right through your fingers." So although you and I are tempted by earthly things, tempted to find our life and our happiness in them, tempted to run after them, they all turn out to be a vanity, a vapor, something that we cannot hold on to, something that is fading away, even as we ourselves are fading away. Yet the things of God, which he gives to us this day in Christ, are life, immortality, peace, and joy that last forever. So clearly the theme of all these readings for today is the same. But what are we to do with this? How are we to respond? Well, Paul and Solomon again have some advice for us. First, Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, here's how you respond. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That seems obvious, right? If earthly things are a vapor and the things of Christ are life forever, isn't it obvious that we should fix our minds on the things above, the things of Christ, rather than the things of this earth? Obvious, and yet we still struggle with it. It's a lot like a message I gave you a couple weeks ago. Remember how Sarah laughed at God? The promise that God gave to her seemed impossible. But nothing is too difficult for the Lord. We remember that, and we know it's true. Of course nothing is too difficult for the Almighty. But we still struggle to believe. How could an old woman beyond childbearing age actually have a son? I don't believe it. We struggle to believe when we face impossible circumstances and situations. In the same way, although it is obvious that the things of this world are passing away and that the things of God last forever, yet still we also struggle. The things of this world are flashy. The things of this world make a big noise. They beg for our attention. And we so easily turn and look at them. And then we devote ourselves to them, even though there is no life in them. So what are we to do? Well, daily we must hear and believe and submit to the words of God spoken through the Apostle Paul. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We do this with the help of God as an act of repentance. We do this with the help of God embracing the true life that is ours in Christ. But what does it look like? What does it look like to set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on earth? It touches almost every area of our lives, but a few ideas sort of emerge from our text and our experience here today. The first thing that comes to mind to me is setting your mind on things above means making a habit of coming here to the house of God. You know, the world will never encourage you to set your minds on the things above. But here in the divine service, God comes to you. He comes to you to remind you of his love and his faithfulness. He comes to you to deliver his gifts in word and sacrament. And these are the chief things that will set your mind on things above. And then, what happens when we leave the sanctuary and go out into our daily life? Well, we, whose minds have been set on things above, will worry less. It's true that you worry about all sorts of things, don't you? Worries are always ultimately about the thought that something bad will happen. Yet if your minds are set on things that are above, you realize that no matter what happens, your life remains hidden with Christ in God forever, and nothing can change that. So you may face financial difficulties. You may face trouble in your relationships. You may face persecution or health troubles or troubling and sorrowful situations, but none of that can change the fact that your life remains hidden with Christ in God. And in that, there is peace. Peace that can weather any worry. And as you experience that peace, you then share it with others. Years ago, I was just a child, elementary school student, attending the funeral of a woman named Dottie. She was the grandmother of one of my classmates. I remember after the funeral, greeting her husband, Hal, at the door of the fellowship hall. It was at First Lutheran Church in Van Nuys, California. My mom and dad gave their condolences to Hal. And I'll always remember this. He took hold of our hands, shook our hands, and said, "I just don't know how a non-Christian could do this. Because I know where Dottie is. I know that she's with Jesus today and forever." Decades later, I still remember that testimony. I remember Hal's faith. I can see that he heard and believed this, that his life and his wife's life were hidden with God in Christ forever, so that even death could not overcome them. See, when our minds are fixed on things above, we worry less, we trust God more, and then we give testimony to our faith, sharing it with those around us, just like Hal shared his faith with me. And in a world filled with anxiety and worry and fear and doubt, we Christians are unique, not because we are without our worries, but because our life is hidden with Christ in God, which brings peace, peace that transcends every worry, peace that surpasses understanding. And that peace we give to others as we proclaim our faith in Him, Christ, crucified and risen for us. Paul then goes on to tell us more about setting our minds on things above. He says, we should also then be putting to death what is earthly in us: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Putting to death also anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from our mouths, and telling each other the truth. In other words, it means embracing our real life, which is hidden with Christ in God, and with the help of God, going to battle against sin so that it would not master us. So we set our minds on things above. We come to church often. We worry less because we have the peace of God. We share that peace with others as we proclaim Christ crucified for us. We go to battle with sin rather than embracing it. And finally, we enjoy our lives, knowing that this life is a gift from God. This is Solomon's last piece of advice for us. He writes, "There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment?" See, since you know that your life is hidden with Christ in God, your future is secure. You have peace and hope that you can share with others. So what is left but to work hard and to enjoy and share the gifts that God gives us every day, knowing that the worst of this life will come to an end on the last day when we enter into his eternal kingdom, and the best of this life, it is just a foretaste of the joys of heaven. So we enjoy and we share God's gifts. We enjoy them ourselves. You know, when you're blessed by God abundantly, you don't need to say, "No, no, no." Say yes with gratefulness. Eat and drink and be joyful. But likewise, when you're blessed by God abundantly, you don't hold on to your blessings so tight as though they were meant only for you and your security. Isn't that what the man in the gospel parable did? More and more and more barns, so that then I can eat and drink and be merry. No, you're blessed to be a blessing to others. So you open your hands generously. You help others in times of need. You share the joy of God's abundance with each other and with those in need around you. And do you need to worry that by sharing your blessing with others, you won't have enough? Don't you have to look out for number one? Save up more and more and more for that rainy day? Well, yes, be wise, but no. No, ultimately the rain will come, the hard times will show up, and your preparation one way or the other won't really matter because your life is hidden with God in Christ. Nothing can change that. He is the one that has your life and your future in his hands, and they are good and gracious hands. You know, all this we experience today here in worship. We come here together to the church so that our minds and our hearts would be set on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. We come here to receive the gifts of God in word and sacrament. We gather together as his people in the fellowship of this one true faith, and our minds are set on things above. And so we worry less because we experience God's peace. We share those blessings and peace with others in this room and others out in our community. Today, with the help of God, we've confessed our sins and received forgiveness. And we go on from here to do battle with that sin with the help of God. All this is a great joy for us. This life with God, both here in the sanctuary and out in the world, are to be enjoyed. And yet we know also that this is simply a foretaste of the feast that is to come. For indeed, on the last day, your hopes will be realized. Christ will come again. The dead will rise. Every tear will be wiped away from your eyes, and your hearts and your minds will be forevermore fixed on your Savior Jesus, who has forgiven all of your sins and welcomed you into his kingdom, which has no end. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in this one true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.